Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I feel great, Josh. I'm super jazzed about game week 27. I'm on the triple cap.
I know. And that was okay. So let's like just lay the cards on the table right now. This has not been the ideal double game week, right? For lots of reasons. Mostly okay. Because there's like no ground to like anybody can possibly gain because every single highly owned player has scored like at least one goal this game week.
Apart from Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
That is true. Apart from Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is now out for it's only two Premier League fixtures because it's the FA Cup game this weekend and then two games to follow. So I like that he just owned up to it too. There was no like no Sturm und Drang. You know, it was just like nope. I elbowed him and I meant
well.
To,
his post match interview though, he said, "Well, I couldn't help the fact that Tyron Mings just decided to jump into my elbow." But that was kind of like that was kind of like him getting pulled over for speeding. You're gonna sort of go do the dance with the police officer for a little bit. Like, nah, I didn't know how fast I was going. I was paying too close attention to the road, officer. And then ultimately you find out that yeah.
Exactly. I didn't blame him for trying, obviously. But I like that they didn't contest it. You know, there was no hearing. It was just like, no, I'll just take the three games.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean the video, the replay is so definitive. I mean any inclination that you think that he's gonna get away with it, or Tyron Mings for that matter. I do think it's ludicrous that Mings might get a longer ban.
Do you regret bringing Mings in for that Man United fixture?
Yeah, so I said earlier I'm on triple captain, and you know, you call me a maverick if you will, but Tyron Mings,
you went all in.
I went all in. Like, it's you're my guy, Mings.
Did he even get a yellow? I mean, you know, see, you're on 6 points. It's not that bad. It's the equivalent of a clean sheet.
Yeah, I mean, I should have waited until Mings had a double game week to put the triple C on him. So that was my bad.
All right, so we're recording this in, I guess you could still say it's the middle of game week 27. We're recording on Tuesday, so Man City plays tomorrow. So we don't actually know how everything's going to shake out. It could be, you know, that Aguero has a, you know, Aguero at home to Newcastle type fixture, and he scores, you know, 5 goals in 20 minutes or something like that to, you know, home to Stoke. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, Stoke have, you know, they shipped 4 to Spurs, you know, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But, you know, there's also like a chance Aguero just like doesn't even like make the 18, right? Like, who knows with Pep. So
it is true. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this better be the middle of the game week because I'm on 57 points right now and I fully expect to be on 114 by the end of Wednesday.
Okay, so walk me through. So we have our podcast last week, and we talk about different options, and we talked about Raheem Sterling. I said that the player who was most likely to play disturbable fixtures was Kevin De Bruyne. So hopefully, no one followed that. We didn't advocate for bringing in De Bruyne.
Oh no, I think we definitely argued against it.
Yeah, he was far down the list, and he was below Raheem Sterling and Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
But you know, so you know, 30 minutes into that Stoke match, you know, Sterling flicks on to Aguero, scores like kind of a, you know, a strange little goal. You know, it all happened very quickly. I felt like,
yeah, it was a nice one-touch goal. I think we've seen Aguero score that goal a number of times. He just great striker's goal, sense of where the goal is and all that sort of thing.
Totally. So. So, you know, picks up some points, but to take a step back on the podcast last week, neither of us were really leaning towards bringing in Aguero, as of the recording. I think we recorded on Monday night last week. So, Aguero plays, Huddersfield Town, I guess Man City, technically there were 11 players in the pitch, play Huddersfield Town and they destroy them. And, everyone decides that Huddersfield Town is the equivalent of, you know, the Italian national team circa 1990. And, you know, we have to, you know, just to ship 5 against them is like shipping like 50 against any team in the Premier League.
And I disagree with your reading of that. I don't think I guess there are some people out there who maybe they're just huge Huddersfield fans who this played into their logic. The logic wasn't oh, City destroyed Huddersfield, therefore they're like men on fire. We have to bring them in. What the Huddersfield game shows is Pep's intention with the lineup to as far as we could sort of guess. Mm-hmm. And it shows that Aguero is getting in the starting 11 and mm-hmm. he is on some kind of form.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you're reading too much into that's really only part of the logic. That's just sort of the logic leading you into, okay, so if Aguero is an option for your team, then he is a triple captain option because, and not because of what he did against Huddersfield, but just because of the type of player that Aguero is generally. And
yeah, or was that this season accepting.
Okay, so we talked like early on in the season about chips.
Yeah, let me take a step, but just to clarify for anyone listening to the podcast, if anyone's listening out there, I also brought in Aguero and captained him. So it's not like I'm like sitting here, you know, with like a negative two doubled on Ibrahimovic or something like that. I also, you know, I'm not trying to be overly critical here. I'm trying to get into the thinking.
So then what was – okay, so I want to talk about the triple captaincy decision, but first, what was your logic then bringing in Aguero?
Well, Aguero, I mean, first of all, everyone was bringing him in, so it felt like I kind of had to as a defensive move. It was encouraging that Pep talked about the kind of form he was in, you know, in his interview after the podcast. You know, so I captaining him to me was a no-brainer. I triple captaining him felt risky to me because he's been so profligate all season. I mean, mm-hmm. he just has missed opportunity after opportunity. And he missed what? I mean, he should have scored like three goals in the Sunderland game too. I mean, he's just, you know, it's just not quite, he's not quite as like brilliant as he has been in previous years. So,
right.
You know, but I think that there's a real like rationale for triple captain. You're sitting on 7 points plus another fixture to come. I mean, yeah, odds are pretty good he's going to score tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, how many points is enough points to justify a triple captain? Is it, you know,
it's four. I think it's like, to me, it's like around 14 or 15. If, mm-hmm. if Aguero only comes out of this game week with his one goal and his two bonus points, then yeah, obviously that's a failure of a triple captaincy. If he gets two goals and say 3 to 4 to 5 bonus points on the game week, then that is, I'd say, par. And if he gets more than that, be it an assist or he scores a brace against Stoke, that's success.
That's a birdie.
That's a birdie. I'm actually right. shooting for an eagle in terms of like four goals and yeah, five bonus points.
If you get seven, it's a bogey, I guess. It's not so bad. You know, I mean, you're a scratch golfer. You know, you're not a pro.
No, it's a skins game. It's because if you're talking about this head to head terms, I might lose that skin, but I've got game week 28 to make it up.
Yeah. I am in an interesting spot, and I guess I am feeling a little frustrated because in my head to head this game week and in our mini league, I'm playing someone who it's funny because we actually are Facebook friends. So I'm playing someone who is literally actually Lucian, who is a Patreon supporter of the podcast, but who is visiting his brother this weekend. I don't think he even bothered to set his team. He didn't make any transfers, didn't have any Man City players. And he just has a collection of players who all like everyone in his team scored a goal, basically.
And he's a West Ham fan. So, of course, Manuel Lanzini comes in and scores a completely meaningless goal at the end of that Chelsea game.
Exactly. That was a brutal 8 points in our head to end. It basically meant that Aguero has to score tomorrow for me to pick up the win. Which should happen, I guess. But
Lucian could be the only of the 4 million plus FPL managers. Lucian is the only one of them that gained anything from that Lanzini goal. Most people either lost their head to head because of an Alonso, Aspi, Cahill, Courtois clean sheet wipeout. Sorry right. for any of you that own David Luiz.
Yeah, it was so the reason I bring this up. And again, I know this is all going to be a lot of this is going to be irrelevant because by the time most people are listening, the Man City game will have already been played. But it just highlighted that we all spent a lot of hours I could have spent reading like Proust or something, thinking about, my game week 27 team and how many points to burn and how many city players is the right number of city players and how to like also plan for game week 28. And in the end, I didn't have to burn any points. You know, I just captained Harry Kane. I'd be looking really good right now. Instead, I dropped Kane for Aguero. I'm feeling better about things because if there was no double game week in game week 27, there's a 100% certainty I would have captained Ibrahimovic, right? You would have done the same thing, right?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, we would just be kicking ourselves for not captaining Harry Kane, but instead we're basically just everyone sweating Aguero right now.
Exactly. So Kane picked up, you know, 13 points, but Aguero's on, you know, 7 double already, right? So that's 14. And if I had captain Ibra, I'd be on -1 doubled, you know, so I'd be a -2. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I mean, it's a net positive. And also I dropped Eriksen for Sterling, and Sterling picked up 6 points. So that's a total wash already. So, you know, I don't feel too burnt.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked a bit about this very early in the season, or even before the season began, or, you know, the cursory discussion of the chips and how did the chips play out last season and what do we want from them this season. And I feel like we both agreed it would be great if everyone didn't play the chips in the exact same pattern in which it was last season. It was
right.
We all wild carded, was it into game week 33 or 34, then you either triple captained or bench boost, and then you did the other chip in game week 37. And we were hoping for a situation this season where there was an opportunity to play the chip sort of out of turn, play your triple captain, your bench boost out of the pattern. And I think that's why you saw this immediate herd go to the triple captaincy for Aguero, because I think a lot of people recognized, hey, wait a minute, are we overlooking this as perhaps a way to, you know, it's like a flanking maneuver or something like that, or a sneak attack.
And it was also
like, as soon as I woke up on Friday morning, and then I was kind of resigned to bringing in Aguero, and then I woke up on Friday morning and I said, all right, I'm triple captaining. I was buzzing for the rest of the day. I have not had this feeling playing FBL for a majority of the season.
A majority of your life.
Of my life, yeah. I just talked to my wife. This could turn out to be a huge failure, but I am having a blast in game week 27.
Well, good. I feel bad for starting on such a negative note then.
That's fine. I mean, I feel like it's worth discussing because it is, and we've spent a lot of the last 3 or 4 months of this season asking what's up with Aguero. Is he dead as an asset? And I mean, obviously you have to ask this question of how is there just this stark turnaround?
Yeah, exactly. And my game week's been fine so far. I've got Sterling. I've got Lukaku. I've got Aguero captained. I have Sadio Mane. You know, it's all good. You know, it's all fine. It was a little annoying to me that, and it's not like there's like any like immutable law that this game follows, you know, that FPL follows, but it's frustrating that all of us who really tried to like game week 27 correctly, all sort of, it didn't really, like there was barely a net gain, I feel like, because you know, Diego Costa scores and Kane goes off. And I mean, I know you could still have those players, but most people had to fund those, you know, they had to, you know, sell off to fund the double game week players. So, it was like, and it was, you know, and Ibrahimovic was just a player that, I mean, you know, there might be just like some hindsight thinking here, but it would have been absolute insanity to drop Zlatan Ibrahimovic on the heels of a incredible goal scoring run that he's been on the last month or so, you know. Scored, you know, 2 goals in the League Cup final. He's been scoring everywhere, you know, the Europa League and the Premier League and, you know, and so on. And, you know, he had a penalty, right? I mean, it took an amazing save from Baruch to stop him from scoring at least 5 points.
Great,
you know,
saver of penalties, wild man Arthur Baruch.
Exactly. So then he would have been at least 5, maybe picks up a bonus point. Maybe they score another goal after that, you know, it changes the whole complexion of the game. So, you know, it's just, it's a little, you know, the game can be fluky at times.
Brandon. All right. Another game wing 27 plot is Stoke City and particularly their defense. How are we feeling about just passing on Stoke defense in game wing 27?
Well, I'm still feeling burned for bringing in Ben Foster like 10 weeks ago or so over Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's probably cost me like 35 points or something. Yeah,
Grant on 7 points. I mean, he could be down to 5 points. If all goes according to plan, Grant could be down to zero at the end of
negative,
this game week.
Negative two.
Yeah.
Right, because it'll be – you think he'll have a couple own goals probably, right? And
yeah, you know, and they'll all be – and Nolito will get credited with both of the assists. What a disaster for everybody. Except except Lucian, who probably owns Nolito.
I saw that Pep said that some of his players were tired. That there's no health problems, but some players were tired going into tomorrow's match. Now, hopefully that does not mean Aguero. I don't think it'll mean Sterling because he got subbed off at the 73rd minute or something like that.
No, he seemed to point at Leroy Sané and the fact that he couldn't string a full 90 minutes in right. a match together.
Could you believe Raheem Sterling in that Sunderland game? How many points should Sterling have scored? I mean, that guy.
I don't know.
I felt like he should have had at least like 2 assists and maybe a goal. He should have had like 18 points.
I felt like City looked pretty good. They all looked pretty good, but they just didn't. They just didn't get into fifth gear.
Profligate, Brandon. They're profligate.
So, I mean, I'm just feeling good going into the Stoke match because I feel like City, they'll be at home. They'll be at the Etihad, and it may be the fifth gear moment.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see, won't we? So, Brandon, it's been an interesting week so far. There's no Hail Cheater Super League update right now because
everything will change.
Everything is exactly. There's no point even running through the top 10 as of right now.
I was on all green arrows until that Chelsea match, and now I'm all on these tiny little red arrows. It's very concerning.
Yeah, Costa.
Yeah, and, that Costa goal, I think, is it.
And Hazard. I mean, Hazard's ownership is still pretty high. There's a lot of Chelsea fans out there.
Just discount how many people actually still have Hazard in their team, but fair enough, fair play.
Well, dead teams, too.
Yeah, they're dead to me.
So we do have some mini meltdowns, though, Brandon. And let's talk about this episode. It's a weird episode. We've got, like one fixture this weekend.
We're technically still in the middle of game week 27, and game week 28 is it's like the third episode in a season of Game of Thrones. You could probably just skip it if you wanted.
It also feels like I have thought about game week 28 for several weeks now. You know, most people who are listening to this podcast, know that this crazy, there's four fixtures, eight teams are playing. It was only going to be three by a miracle. When Burnley lost at home to Lincoln City, it created another. How bad would this game week be if there wasn't that fixture? I mean, I would have to like load up on. I don't even know. We'd all have Josh King, I guess. And that'd be like the only answer.
Yeah. Josh King and Alfie Mawson.
So we're going to talk about, we have a few meltdowns to go through. We're going to talk about game week 28, a few general questions, and that's it. I think we're going to get out of here in like 40 minutes. It's going to be like our shortest podcast ever, right?
You said it.
Our shortest podcast up until now was an hour and 55 minutes. So this will be a real.
Our shortest podcast is like an audiobook version of Atlas Shrugged.
Right. Okay, so a few meltdowns here. Aiden Green says, this is a more philosophical question. Actually, I've got kind of two back-to-back here, so I'm going to say them both at once. Not at the same time, like in stereo. I'll say one and then I'll say the next one.
That would be amazing, though.
Aiden Green said, would you say you honestly enjoy playing FPL or is it a cruel addiction? I'm not sure anymore. Then Dave from Burnley says, when is rage quitting a thing? Would it be Aguero blank tomorrow? Missed pen? Sent out for spitting? When?
Okay, so I guess I'll tackle the rage quit.
Yeah, you're Mr.
First.
Happy.
I enjoy playing video games as well. So I'm familiar with this concept of rage quitting, whether you're playing FIFA or like Call of Duty or something like that. And rage quitting is acceptable in those situations because a rage quit basically means you get to get out of the situation and you can immediately start a new game. If you rage quit FPL, you're waiting like 6 months until you get to play again. And you know, just to go back to Aiden's question, we're straight up addicted. There's a dopamine, rush that's happening here that feels good and can make it sort of seem fun. But you're too addicted to quit and have to wait that long for next season. So under no circumstances can you rage quit.
I do think I agree with you here. I mean, you got to see it through. You know, it's we've talked before. I mean,
be a man, Dave.
We've talked before in the podcast about how people, you know, will often, you know, I mean, I think the number of dead teams is like creeping up to like close to 50% or something like that, leaving a measly 2 million managers who are actively playing this game. And, you know, I do understand. I mean, it's a 38-week season. It's super long. You know, if you miss a couple weeks, you know, maybe like the threat is gone. If you don't have an active like league community, I can see it being less fun. You know, I mean, I think that we at least have, you know, we have lots of people in our league who take it seriously all the way through.
Yeah.
And even if they don't take it seriously, they, you know, they'll show up, you know, to watch games together and, they're having fun, you know.
Yeah, they don't there's really, at least yeah. the minor amount of banter at the very least.
Exactly. So if you didn't have that, I could see how maybe you're like you'd want to switch off or whatever. But you got to see it through. You got to set new goals for yourself. You know, you got to find new things to care about. Dave knows this. I think he's a longtime fantasy manager. As to the question of whether I enjoy playing FBL. I don't know that I enjoy anything. So I don't know how to answer that question. I find it stimulating.
I'll jump in here and because I wonder myself. There are many weekends where I wonder if I'd be enjoying the football more if I was watching it away from my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Or would I enjoy it less? Like, do I enjoy the football more because of the fantasy team? And I can't tell. I don't know. And I think that's why the pure watch has become a thing that we talk about.
I think it goes back to the friend thing. I think that to enjoy fantasy for 38 weeks, it really helps to have a mini league or a Hail Shooter Super League for that matter. Yeah, it helps to have a league that you care about and ideally friends that you see in real life, or at the very least that you communicate with via, you know, Skype or I don't know, you know, GChat or email or text or Facebook or Twitter, like just some way where you're kind of egging each other on and you're, you know, the other people are paying attention. And I think that's, you know, you have to find the micro joy.
Right. Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. You know, what I mean?
I like this term, microjoy.
I don't know if Aiden knows what I mean, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, is it a cruel addiction? Is it a cruel addiction? Yes, it is. We've said before, the season is just so insanely long. There really should be a halfway. Like the fantasy, I don't know. The fantasy game, you know, when they need to come to us once again. If you're out there and you're running the fantasy.premierleague site, send Brendan and I an email because we have lots of thoughts. We've solicited many reader suggestions for ways to improve the league. And they could be doing so much more with mini leagues and micro leagues and second half leagues and six round tournaments and round robins. And there's all kinds of like different things that they could be doing to jazz things up. And I don't think it would take that much bandwidth on their part. So
haven't I told you, Josh, that I already have an open line of communication with Fantasy.PremierLeague? We email weekly about Gareth McCauley.
Yeah, I know. How you guys have like set that up is amazing.
I am the Vladimir Putin to the FPL Donald Trump. I am pulling all the strings.
All right, this last one, I'm just gonna post. Actually, you read this one out loud, but I think we can just read it without comment. I think it reflects the logic of many managers out there.
All right, meltdown of the week from Emmett Sutton, who says selling Ali and Lukaku for Sané and Kane. That's -4. Okay, I think I'm reading this right, Josh. That's -4, cost 22 points for 17 points at the moment. But if no Kun, then captain on Ibra. So that's +8, which equals 25 with a free spin tomorrow on Sané and Kane. No, Kun. Sun and Coon on a captaincy. Hashtag maths win. Hashtag fuzzy logic. Hashtag here's the key, Josh. Still have Kane. So Emmett in one tweet basically cycled through all the permutations of game week 27. Yeah.
That wasn't even a meltdown. He gives the meltdown of the week section a bad name.
He does. He does. You're not pulling out your hair enough, Emmett. You're too sane for the meltdown section.
All right, and Brett, I think we've melted down enough ourselves. Let's take a quick break and let's get back and talk about game week 28.
All right.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, game week 28, Brandon. I'm going to run through the fixtures for game week 28. I'll do it a few times to really let it sink in. We have three matches on Saturday: Bournemouth, West Ham, Everton, West Brom, Hull, Swansea, Liverpool, Burnley. Actually, that Liverpool Burnley match is on Sunday. So you probably got confused. Let me repeat it again, Brandon. Bournemouth, West Ham, Everton, West Brom, Hull, Swansea, and Liverpool, Burnley. I guess the nice thing is you have those two Wests on the same side of the fixture chart. It's very
But they're kind of on the east side of the fixture chart, though, which is driving me insane.
That's true. They really should flip those just for, you know, for
just for
sanity. Yeah, exactly. It's confusing because then you wouldn't know who the home team was, but it'd be nice, you know, aesthetically.
Yeah, just for all the OCD people out there.
So it's four fixtures. As you know, everybody kind of knows, I think, you know, they know about these fixtures. A lot of us have been planning for them for a while now. Those of us who aren't planning are suddenly panicking as they realize they have, like, you know, six, seven, who knows how many players. I have seven players for game week 27 or for 28, excuse me. It could have been eight, although now it is confirmed. I can actually jump ahead and I can answer a question from Fat Gorilla about Stanislaw and confirm that Junior Stanislaw is almost definitely not going to be playing this weekend. Some sort of light injury. So I'm on seven and I am considering an 8-point hit, Brandon, to bring in three players. I know it's very uncommon for me, but just the way I think about it, I don't know. You don't need that many points to make up the 8-point hit when no one's playing at all. You know,
That is true.
I'm not planning to bring in any defenders. They would all be for midfielders and forwards. So I think the odds are, particularly because there are players that you can take hits for who have a pretty, you know, pretty good chance of picking up some attacking points.
Is this like an anti-double game week where if you are fielding a player who has a match, it's like they are effectively on a double game week?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. My thinking has changed a little bit because of the Ibra red card too, because we know that he's going to be missing two fixtures.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good chance I'm just going to wild card in game week 29 anyway. But just in case I decide not to now, I've got to, well, and also just for value purposes, cause I expect his price to drop. I'm going to be dropping Ibra probably, in order to bring in Llorente, right? Who I know that's kind of the like forward du jour, but he's the one who makes the most sense, right? I mean, of any of the forward options for game week 28 that aren't Romelu Lukaku, it's got to be Llorente.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Carroll doesn't give me that excited.
All these other teams don't even have forwards except for Romelu Lukaku.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to just totally glide over Carroll because I think that he could. I mean, especially because Bournemouth's defense has been so bad. I honestly don't know how they didn't concede like five goals away to Man United. Like, do they deserve credit for that, or was it just Man United being kind of wasteful? Like, I felt like Man United should have done more.
I think it's fair to say it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And also, yeah. I guess, in Andy Carroll's favor, Tyrone Mings will presumably be out. So it's like, not that Mings has been at all close to good for Bournemouth this season.
You're triple captain, Brandon?
Yeah, listen, if anybody knows, it's me.
Poor Tyrone Mings. I mean, he missed a whole season, finally gets a chance to play, immediately stomps on someone's head.
But I feel like he was
totally blew it.
That team just needed to play, that back line needed to play together a bit more, and you wonder if they were just starting to develop some sort of understanding, and now they're going to have to go through another rotation back there. So Andy Carroll could be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, he could. And I guess Lynn's okay, so let's get to some questions, because we've got a number of questions about Gaming 28, and I think as we go through these, it'll end up touching on all of the key questions for Gaming 28, right?
Well, just real quick for me, I am buoyed by the fact that Jordi Amat actually, for the first time in a long time, scored a point.
He did.
Yeah, he came on for, I think it was 3 minutes against Burnley. And
awesome.
Scored a point. So I don't know if I can count him amongst my potential game week 28 players, but there he is, Jordi Amat, bringing me up to seven.
Yeah. At the very least, it means you can't drop him, right?
I mean, he's undroppable.
He's undroppable. I hope you keep him like through a wild card. I hope you just stick with Amat, you know, just for old time's sake.
Sure. Why not? Okay, let's move on to the questions.
Razzy Boy says, Brandon, well, okay, he asked us, but I'm asking you, Brandon.
Okay.
Are there any sure clean sheets in game week 28?
I have to actually tip my hat to Razzy Boy for even asking this question, because he tweeted at us Friday evening saying, do you think it'd be worth a -4 to bring in Glenn Whelan? I think it was for, I can't remember who it was for, but it was for a defender that was just had no chance of starting. And I was like, nah, it's not worth it. Stoke, they're going to get murdered by Man City on Wednesday. And then Glenn Whelan shows up with an assist and a clean sheet. So I do feel a little bad about that.
I mean, come on. You can't feel bad about it. Glenn Whelan had no goals, no assists the entire time. It's Glenn Whelan. I mean, come on.
On a team full of unsexy defenders like Orc-tastic Ryan Shawcross and Peters, who has kind of been an under the radar defender this season.
I thought Whelan was classified as a midfielder, isn't he? He's a midfielder, isn't he?
Oh, is he? You're going to have to look that up. Can you?
Yeah, he's a 4.3 million midfielder.
Oh, it was just a false question on his face, Razzy Boy. I'm misremembering it. I was in quite a state on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, Whelan did pick up 8 points, so you were wrong, but your thinking was correct. You just you were unlucky.
I was out to lunch. Okay, so but clean sheets in game week 28. God, could I guarantee any clean sheet here? I mean, I think Everton.
I think Everton have an excellent chance of a clean sheet in game week 28. I don't know,
Free Whelan, West Brom. Not to pun on, we were just talking about Glenn Whelan, but West Brom is also Free Whelan. They score.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, Everton's defense has been quite a bit better the last 7 or 8 weeks. And I mean, I even thought they played okay in the Ashley Williams basically gave Harry Kane a goal. but other than that, I thought they played pretty well. I mean, I agree.
They just had some trouble, getting through the midfield. That was their real problem.
Playing a very tough Spurs squad and in very good form. So you can't blame them for losing that game. I think that Everton to me, I mean, well, how about Liverpool at home to Burnley? I mean, there's a pretty good chance of a clean sheet there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I suppose. But you would also say Liverpool Hull, great clean sheet opportunity. Right. And then Hull just comes and cleans Liverpool's clock.
All right, Brandon, we're 71 weeks into this podcast, and I have a promise for you.
Uh-huh.
As long as this podcast goes. I will never say that there's a sure clean sheet in any given game week,
yeah.
Because who knows, right? It doesn't take anything. It takes a corner kick and an own goal for a clean sheet to go away. It takes nothing. Losing a clean sheet is like the easiest and it happens. I mean, look at the Chelsea West Ham game on Monday, right? I mean, Chelsea did completely dominated that game. I mean, West Ham had absolutely no answer. Then 91st minute when the game was effectively all over, right? I mean, Hazard had been subbed, Pedro had been subbed. Victor Moses, the unstoppable Victor Moses, had been subbed.
Right.
And then they conceded a goal. So, I mean, who knows? It's so fluky.
Well, okay, so here would be the defensive picks then. I think we're spot on with Everton, and obviously it's Baines or Coleman get one of them, and their attacking potential is huge.
Coleman, then you got to get Coleman.
And, well, yeah, you have Coleman, and I would definitely go Coleman myself. Now, what about, West Ham playing against Bournemouth, West Ham, it doesn't really matter if they're home or away this season. They're kind of terrible at the London Stadium. Aaron Cresswell, 5.2.
Yeah.
Let's see. What fixtures do just looking beyond game week 28? Because it does feel like, particularly if we're going to be playing our wild card, not soon after. But I do wonder about the long-term potential of, say, Aaron Creswell. And so it's...
Are you saying Creswell?
I can't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say Creswell like I have a speech impediment. Creswell. Yeah, okay. Creswell. There I go. I got it. So after Bournemouth, we've got Leicester City, Hull away, then Arsenal, which who knows, Swansea, right. Sunderland. The fixtures are pretty decent for West Ham, all things considered. So why not Aaron Creswell?
Why not Aaron Creswell? I think Creswell is a fine choice. Bournemouth are able to score. I mean, they have been in a terrible run of form. I mean, I guess it's a miracle they picked up a point. I don't think they're going to go down. I think they're just safe enough. But all season they've been able to score. I don't have the stats handy, but I don't think they've been held scoreless very often this season. I feel like they have. Let me see if I can actually pull that up real fast here.
While you're pulling that up, we have another question. It's from Sean Number One, who is sort of tacking on to this defense question. He asked, best keeper for game week 28. I'm thinking Mignolet, for after Louise and Courtois keep breaking my heart. He's referring to Chelsea getting a few clean sheet wipes out. I cannot talk this podcast. He did some clean sheet wipeouts recently. So best replacements for Chelsea defense. That to me is insane. Keep your Chelsea defenders.
Courtois. It's just a fluky. It's a fluky run. I mean, I conceded a goal in the 91st minute. I feel like the last goal they conceded. I mean, they conceded that goal in that absolutely beautiful Eden Hazard free kick, right? I mean, it goes over like 18 players and falls like perfectly on Llorente's head. I also feel like when people like on like regular non-fantasy podcasts talked about that goal, I don't feel like enough credit went to Sigurdsson for like basically creating that goal, right?
Put it in the absolute perfect place where Courtois is not going to come out for it.
Exactly. So I think that I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, right. So they've effectively conceded two goals on two. One in a fluky set piece, one in the final minutes of a game they were completely dominating. To me, it's not indicative of any kind of bad run of form or anything. It's just bad luck, and it's hard to keep clean sheets for a defender. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it's, as long as you have Alonso or Azpilicueta, even Cahill, right, because he scored so many goals this year, there's always a chance of getting attacking points anyway. So, I just think it's it is a bad run, right? I mean, how many games in a row now is it they haven't kept a clean sheet? Is it three or four?
That's a good question. I couldn't tell you. Even though I'm an Alonso owner, I sort of like put it out of my mind.
It's three, right? And four of the last five. So yeah,
that is rough. That is a rough actually, run for the best. What is the best defense in the league?
Actually, it's five in a row. Pardon me. It was Alonso had scored a goal in the Arsenal match, and so he had more points. But yeah, it was five games in a row. They have not kept a clean sheet. The last one they kept was home to Hull.
Well, yeah, and then speaking of, you want to talk about another goalkeeping option apart from Mignolet? It's my man Joel Robles, and they're coming up against Hull in game week 29. So that's a pretty decent 1-2 punch for be it an Everton defender or goalkeeper with West Brom and then Hull.
I like Robles. I like Coleman. I like Baines.
And Robles was getting some stick for a few of those early goals against Spurs, but he came on strong in the second half and he made some really good saves. He's got that mentality that I think if you look at a guy, say, take Lucas Fabianski, for example, he always looks a little unsure of himself. And he's, he could let the game carry him away. And maybe I'm just speaking as a Joel Robles owner, but I see a little twinkle in his eye.
Well, a little confirmation bias here. I like Fabianski. I think you were kind of... I feel like you were kind of taking him to the mat, and I think he's a pretty good keeper, Fabianski.
He's fine. He's just not had a good season. The whole team has not had a good season. You can't pin it all on the goalkeeper. It's true.
All right, let's move on to a bigger question. It was possibly the big question for this game week, even bigger than us talking about Chelsea defenders for, I don't know, game week 29. Our friend Luke, FPL Slencha, says, Liverpool mids are making another resurgence like they did earlier. Apart from Mane, do you like Firmino or Coutinho? And then Siggy Eskerlund chimed in and said, Coutinho or Firmino? So what say you, Brandon?
I was watching No Country for Old Men over the weekend, mm-hmm. and I feel a little bit like Anton Chigurh. I'm just going to say, call it. I'm going to flip the coin, and I'll just say to you, Siggy and Thunshot, call it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to properly evaluate. Like, looking at the stats, I'm not sure is super useful for Coutinho because it depends on what part of the season you're looking at. And I honestly think he was – I think he came back injured. I think that he was still not in peak form when he returned. And I watched the entire Liverpool match over the weekend, and I don't know if I said think. I absolutely did. I sat and did nothing.
Yeah, either you did or you didn't.
I sat on my couch and watched 2 hours of Liverpool, and I thought he looked fantastic. I actually thought he was very unlucky to come away with no points in that game.
I mean, they all looked fantastic. Those three, Mane,
Firmino. Yeah, I say that in a game where, you know, Coutinho and Firmino, or I mean, Firmino and Mane both got a goal and an assist.
And they looked, if you would want to pair them up at all, I think, and it's just recency, but Mane and Firmino seem to have some sort of mental mind meld happening in that game.
So are you thinking about bringing in a second Liverpool mid for this
game?
Yeah,
I think that's my likely move.
Mm-hmm. And are you leaning towards Mane or Coutinho or Lallana or somebody else?
It will be...
Wijnaldum, perhaps.
It would be Mane or Coutinho. Uh-huh. And I think I lean towards Mane. And that's, I don't want to... You know, you have Mane, and I think about our head-to-head, and I don't want to mm-hmm. line up the same team as you. But I don't want to overcomplicate it. I think Mane is just really the smartest option. If you already have Firmino, and if you already have Mane, then I think Firmino is the smartest option. With the caveat, of course, that we all know is Coutinho is a little magician, and he could turn around and have a 15-point game, no problem.
Yeah, I am leaning towards Coutinho, to be honest. Part of it is because I guess I like the slight differ. I mean, if I were like leading my mini league, I would go with Firmino, but. I think if you're down, that Coutinho is a better option. His ownership's a little bit lower. Price is a little bit lower, too, but I don't think by much, maybe like two-tenths of a million. So I think that – and I just think that he was all over the ball as well. I think that there's he actually had one – I feel like he had one, like, turn that check in to make a great save in the top corner.
Yeah, he definitely did. And I think that's right. Coutinho's involvement – does make a really good case there. If you have Mane or if you have Firmino, then you've got, you know, the strict sort of goal scoring points covered.
Right.
And with Coutinho, given that he's so involved in the linking, that mm-hmm. that's you sort of only need one of Firmino. And
right.
Yeah, I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and given that they've all been in the points the last couple of game weeks, given that they... You know, it can be very hard to pick the right, like, Liverpool midfielder, you know? I mean, it's kind of been the story all season. At least it was when they were in good form in the first half. And I would like to think they're going to stay in good form, although it seems like they kind of only get it up for the top teams. So I think that, I think that that's, like, the best I can say is if you are trailing in your – if you're trailing in your get excited, you
sure,
know?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, sure. Uh-huh. I'm going to put the explicit lyrics stamp on this episode. I think that the best advice I can give is if you're trailing in your mini league and you want a differential, pick Coutinho. If you're up, pick Firmino, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you feel like there's objectively like a right answer here between those two?
I think the way you've said it is probably the most objective it's going to get.
Right. And one is a slightly more defensive move. One is a more high risk, high reward move.
Totally. Totally agree. All right, Leo 633 asks Lanzini, King, or Siggy. We're going to take it off Liverpool here for a moment. This is sort of the. Would you also lump in Llorente into this category?
Well, I don't know what you really call this
category.
We'll save Llorente for a minute. I think that between those three. I think between those three, you have to look ahead to the. It depends on whether you're going to wild card in the next few game weeks. I think that, as we talked about a moment ago, the fixtures are really good for West Ham over the next several game weeks. Snodgrass has not been the mid. He has not filled the Piatt role the way we thought he was going to. It looks like it really is more Lanzini. So
yeah.
And not that Lindsay is really on free kicks exactly, but it just seems like he's been like a little more ball dominant since got ball dominant. I really am. It's a very dirty podcast, Brandon.
Well, that's more of a basketball reference, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
So West Ham.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so West Ham, they play Bournemouth, Leicester, Hull, and Swansea in four of the next five. Swansea have a pretty good run of fixtures themselves. They play Hull, Bournemouth, Middlesbrough, Spurs, and West Ham in the next five. Then Bournemouth, it's a little bit worse. I mean, they play West Ham and Swansea in 28 and 29, and then they play Southampton away, Liverpool away, Chelsea at home. So I guess if I were looking long, I mean, if you're only looking at one game week, then maybe Josh King is a better option. I don't know. I mean,
I believe that Eddie Howe is targeting points, 1 or 3 points in these two upcoming matches, because it's going to get really dicey once they start hitting Southampton, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, and they need points. So I'm just wondering how aggressive they're going to be. And then, I don't know, maybe that's something to think about.
I'm not in love with Josh King. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's just because he was really in and out of that squad the last couple of years. You know, he's kind of even last season he would sort of come on and he'd be really a little bit like Junior Stanislaw. He would come on and pick up points and then he would sort of disappear for a while. And so I don't know. I think that I'm not planning to bring in Josh King myself for whatever that's worth. I'm just not really a believer, but I'm not sure that that's a the right statistical answer, or if that's just me like having some kind of bias against Josh King.
I really wish for West Ham that Andre Ayew was a more regular featured player for them, because he would be a really fun player to bring in this game week.
Well, you know, Antonio's a little off the radar, right? Because he didn't play the last game week, with the red card.
That's true. He'll be back.
Yeah. He's an interesting, I actually hadn't really thought about Antonio. You know, he might be a really good option for this game week. I mean, especially, with everyone looking at Siggy, maybe Antonio is. By the way, to answer the question, I think it's definitely Siggy. I mean, if money is no option between Lanzini, King, and Sigurdsson, I would definitely go Sigurdsson.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Easy.
But Antonio is an interesting option, too. I mean, if I were burning eight and it was all in my midfield, I might look at bringing in, Coutinho. I mean, I guess I could bring a Coutinho in for me now. But maybe Coutinho, Siggy, and Antonio. That'd be a pretty... I feel like that would be a midfield that would be like almost guaranteed to pick up some points in game week 28.
No, I agree. What else can we talk about in game week 28?
How about Andy Carroll? Dave from Burnley says, criminally ignored this week or not?
I guess he's just ignored. I wouldn't call it criminal, Dave. Nobody's going to jail for this.
No, it's...
I agree. We kind of touched.
You just quietly. I was thinking about something to say, and I just heard you quietly laughing at your own
That's basically where I'm at right now. We touched upon this earlier, though, didn't we? That Andy Carroll is sure. Yeah, absolutely. It could go his way.
It could go his way. There's always the injury risk with Carroll, and that's why I'm always kind of reluctant to bring him in. I also think that Llorente is a better option for this game week, and I think the price is – Llorente is 6.4 million, so extremely affordable. And
Andy Carroll is 6.2,
right? So almost exactly the same price. Llorente is in fantastic form. Hull are terrible. and will probably concede a couple of goals. So, yeah, I think that I think Llorente is, and they have pretty good fixtures after game week 28. So if you plan on keeping him around, you know, he's a pretty good option.
Do you think we're going to get any blowback on what you just said about Hull, though? I mean, they're getting a lot of praise for their organization recently under new management. You know, a lot of people are bringing in, you know, looking at game week 28. We brought in guys like Andrew Robertson and Maguire. So,
yeah, I mean, they lost, you know, two of their last, I mean, they picked up 1 point from nine in their last three games. I mean, they just shipped three away to Leicester, drew at home, they lost 2-0 away to Arsenal. I mean, you know, I know they beat Liverpool, but I don't know. I'm not really like blown away by anything that Hull like does. I know that you have Robertson, and so you're kind of
well, of all the things I'm going to push you on, this is not going to be one of them. Right. The glory that is Hull City's defense.
Brendan, let's look ahead for a moment here. A couple of questions, sort of general questions about the last, you know, we're in the, really in the stretch run here, right? We've got 25% of the season to go.
The business end.
Yeah. Hagsrud says, Sanchez laughing and smirking at the 1-5 home loss to Bayern. Should we stay away? What do you think? What are your thoughts on? I mean, you and I talked offline about Arsenal. I'm not even going to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah,
I can't help myself from cursing.
Sure. General thoughts would be Sanchez is obviously done with this team and he's leaving in the summer. But I do not think that that disrupts his value as an FPL asset, because if we know anything about Sanchez, is he's just a footballing machine when he gets on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care about any of the off-field politics when he's playing. You can tell that he just wants to do well and score goals, even if it's just for himself. So I could see him scoring many, many, many more goals this season.
And I thought he did everything he could. You know, I mean, after the whole training ground bust up issue, the, you know, alleged issue, you know, it sounds like he, you know, he went on his, I guess that's like how athletes do it now. Like he went on his Instagram page and said everything was cool and had some quote from, it's from like, it's like, I don't know. It was like from some like English writer from Chesterton or something. He had like, I don't know, some quote about like, you know, it's not about the people in front of me, it's about my teammates behind me or whatever. And, you know, shook Arsene Wenger's hand on the training ground or whatever. So I think it's all fine. I mean, I guess if he doesn't play in the FA Cup game this weekend, maybe you're a little, I mean, he shouldn't play in that game, right? It's Lincoln City, but he probably will at some point.
Additionally, there are huge superstars. I'm thinking about, this is not quite the right example, but Drogba at Montreal Impact, you know, has a little bust up with his manager, and he's just like, screw this. I'm like taking the next plane home, and I'm not even going to play for this team anymore. Sanchez was benched after a training ground row, and he happily came in to the game at halftime
and played really well.
I feel like if he's able to do that, he could have easily said to Wenger, like, well, I'm not, I know you need me on that field and you're humiliating me, so I'm not going to play.
And it's worth the risk anyway, right? Because they have two double game weeks coming up in their final 10 fixtures.
Yeah. No, it's true. So sort of not all tarnished for him yet.
David Fellheim says, save my triple captain. Should I use on the double game week for Hazard, Ibra, Sanchez, or Kane? I think it's too early to say. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, we could have done some real hard research into what the actual double game week fixtures would be. I mean, they haven't obviously been posted to FPL yet, but
a lot of
it will depend on form and injury and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think I think it's too early to tell. I guess Sanchez is the one that I would lean towards. You know, I
mean, Harry Kane, just the last three game weeks.
That's true.
I'm riding hard for Harry Kane right now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah, it could be. Yeah, maybe Kane is. I guess Kane or Sanchez. Ibra to me is a little bit like Diego Costa. They just don't have those like massive game weeks. They don't tend not to, at least. You know, they never have like. I wonder what the most points Ibra scored in a game. I guess he had that. Was it home to Bournemouth in game week 17 or something where he had like 17 points? But in general, he's not like a massive. He'll get like one goal, you know, like he's a great like 8-8-8, you know, three game weeks in a row.
Same for Hazard, even Diego Costa.
Yeah. So
I think it's down to Sanchez and Kane.
I think so, too. I mean, Kane got right. I mean, he has 33 points in the last two game weeks.
It's ridiculous.
Roto Premier League, Steven, hello. Hey,
Steven.
Asks, is Gabbiadini, is it Gabbiadini?
Gabbiadini.
Is Gabby the greatest goal scorer in Premier League history?
What? Go ahead. Sorry.
Roto Premier League, our friend Steven says, is Gabbiadini.
I'm just going to leave that in there. This is hilarious. This is great podcasting.
Is Gabbiadini the greatest goal scorer in Premier League history?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy one to answer. I think the stats show it. He's scored he scored more than Alan Shearer now, right?
He's had pretty much the best start, right? I mean, I don't know if you could start any better.
He was just even gifted a goal over the weekend.
He's played three games in the league. He scored four goals in those three games, and he scored two goals in the losing League Cup match. So he scored six goals in four games. That is a pretty extraordinary start. I'm not sure that – I mean, four goals in your first three games in the Premier League has got to be about as good a start as anybody's had, right?
Yeah, it's great. And I think in game week 30, he's got to be in your squad looking at Bournemouth, Crystal Palace. Those are two home fixtures for Southampton and then West Brom in game week 32. So
he's
going to be great.
He is a fantastic option for wild cards because he's cheap, right? I mean, even at the price rise, you know, he's very affordable. And and then they have what, two double game weeks coming up? So two double game weeks for a cheap player who is on a great goal scoring run.
Yeah, you have to believe his value is going to start going up. I would guess he's kind of stable right now, given the blank, and then they're up against Spurs. But yeah.
I
could see his value just skyrocketing coming into game week 30.
If you brought in like Llorente, because they play away to Spurs in game week 29. So if you brought in Llorente for game week 28, you could keep Llorente for one game week if you're going to wild card in game week 29, and then you could move Llorente into Gabbiadini for game week 30. I think that would be a pretty good game plan.
All right, here's a very interesting question, and coming from Sebastian Stromshine Ronson. You're thinking about wildcarding soon, Josh. If you wildcard in game week 30, how much is one or two extra games worth? I.e., how much emphasis should we put on filling our teams with double game week players 4 to 6 game weeks ahead? This is something you said you regretted in hindsight last season, not playing your wild card earlier.
Yeah, because you know who the double game week players are going to be. You know?
Right, like so just what we were saying about Gabbiadini.
Yeah, so I think there's a pretty good chance I'll wild card in game week 29, because why not, given you know that I have a lot of ground to make up. So I think there's a pretty good chance that all 15 of my players will be players that have double game weeks to come. I don't know why my team wouldn't look like that. I know that like if they, you know, certain teams make the semis, you know, you could have by then you can usually do a midweek game, you know, so I don't think it'll be a problem.
You're only down to one needless tournament happening simultaneously instead of two.
Exactly. So I think you can probably construct a team, especially given how many players didn't play in game week 28 or 26. It should be pretty easy to come up with a team of 15 double game week players. I mean, I put a lot of value on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. This logic cannot be argued with, Josh.
And Brandon, that's it. Well, under an hour. I think we did it.
Before we leave, I want to ask you who you're going to captain in game week 28. I mean, I think it's kind of an easy one to answer, right?
No, I actually don't think it is. I mean, okay, yes. It's easy to answer in a general sense. I think I'm probably going to captain a Liverpool midfielder.
Okay.
It's not easy to answer because...
Yeah, because I'm looking at Lukaku.
Romelu Lukaku, exactly. But I'm not... I mean, Lukaku is a good pick, but... I mean, given what we saw from Liverpool this last game, like, I think that Sadio Mane or Philippe Coutinho, I think, you know, Firmino, I mean, Llorente away to Hull. I actually think there are a lot of good captain options this game week.
Oh my God. I haven't even seen Aguero play against Stoke, and I'm getting excited for game week 28. I can't believe we managed in an hour's podcast to actually get me excited about what is probably going to be the lamest game week of all time.
I know, like, all the games are at 10 o'clock. There's 3 10 o'clock games in the U.S. and
the goal rush is going to be insane.
What, couldn't they break them up like they do for the FA Cup, and like, couldn't there have been a 7:45 and a 10 and a 12:30? Just kind of give me a whole day of soccer.
I don't know, imagine the grief they'd get from local police for changing the time.
All right. And I guess there are FA Cup matches to watch, you know, if I'm really dying to see Arsenal play Lincoln City or something.
Your beloved Arsenal.
My beloved Arsenal. Brandon, where can people find us?
You should subscribe to the Always Cheating podcast because you listen to it. You love it. You're a part of our family. Find us on iTunes where you can rate us and leave a review that helps us out. Subscribe on SoundCloud. We're also on Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn FM, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also follow us. Josh, where can they follow us?
You can find us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. Facebook, it's facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email is hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can support the podcast, patreon.com/alwayscheating. We have a special episode with Richard Orford that we posted last week. And part two we should put up maybe next week. Brandon, we'll get that episode up.
Yeah, it's in the can. It's ready to go, baby. We just
– yeah.
Maybe if we get – what if we get two at least – we shouldn't put a number on this. If we get a few more Patreon subscribers, that will unlock the second part of Richard's
Patreon. Oh, I like that. Patreon, how about that? Episode. Yeah, one. How about just one?
Just one, yeah. One of you has to step up and throw a couple quarters into the bucket.
Yeah, so I'll post it in this later this week too, an update about the second half league, which you can still join, and the knockout league, which I guess it's getting too late now because the final two players, Shane Deere and Dave Wegner-Lodell, are neck and neck, and they each keep winning, and so it's the two of them just cannot lose. But I'm thinking that game week 28 is going to decide things because with these 8 fixtures, I don't think they're going to have a lot of choices.
Oh my God, I will watch with great interest.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and good luck in game week 28. And if you have Man City players, good luck tomorrow.
Hail cheaters.
Praise Mobokani.
Macaulay forever.
All right. See you next week.